This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Lehman's Lemon of a Quarter.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Lehman Brothers is about to report its first ever quarterly loss. The Wall Street Journal is also saying the bank will need billions of dollars of extra capital to beef up its balance sheet. Stephen Beard has more.
Lehman's results are not due out until the week after next, but analysts have already figured out the numbers, and they're not pretty. It's thought the bank could lose well over $300 million and need a fresh capital injection of $4 billion. Mortgages are the main problem, and Lehman's not alone. Among other international banks, there's been a flurry of profit warnings and other problems lately. That's a setback for the more upbeat mood of recent weeks. Jeff Goldfarb is with the financial website Breaking Views.
So we've seen some optimism of late from bank CEOs saying that the worst may be behind us, but this latest bout of news really seems to indicate that the bottom may not yet be in sight.
He says as the credit crunch hits the real economy, that's feeding back into the source of the problem, the banks. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
There's not a lot of home construction happening right now, let alone fancy homes. Toll Brothers hit a wall in its second quarter. The luxury home builder posted a net loss today of nearly $94 million. The company says there's weak demand in most markets as the current housing slump heads into year two. That kind of thing and the banking news is taking its toll on markets overseas. Asian markets were lower across the board. It's a mix right now in Europe. The Dow fell 134 points yesterday to 12,503. The Nasdaq lost 31 points to 2491. The S&P 500 was down 15 to 1385. The one-year T-bill is back today. For the first time since 2001, the government will sell 52-week debt, $16 billion of it. From New York, Jill Barchet takes a look at why.
Uncle Sam retired the one-year T-bill back in 2001 after a string of surpluses. But a lot's changed since then.
In the case of the year bill, they're bringing it back purely and simply because the Treasury needs the money.
That's Luke Crandall. He's the chief economist at Rights and ICAP. He says the budget is approaching a record deficit because tax receipts are way down with a soft economy. The government needs money so badly it may bring other old-school treasuries back from the dead.
It's conceivable that either a three-year or a seven-year note might be slipped back in.
The biggest buyers of the one-year T-bill used to be foreign central banks. But everyone from hedge funds to pensions is hungry for safe short-term debt right now. Crandall says investors don't want to tie their money up in these uncertain times. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet for Marketplace.
General Motors is holding its annual shareholders meeting today. GM workers are getting ready for more announcements about cuts or even closures of factories. From the Bush administration, economic stimulus checks. From Vince McMahon and World Wrestling Entertainment, an economic incentive to watch big dudes tossing around in a ring. The WWE chairman says he'll give away $1 million of his own wealth to viewers. Ratings are down. The promotional contest starts Monday.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. By the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world. Online at shrm.org. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
There are about 8 million undocumented immigrants working in the United States. A recent study says if they were to disappear overnight, the U.S. economy would lose about $1.8 trillion in annual spending. South Africa's economy, too, relies on as many as 5 million foreign nationals living inside its borders. They're often blamed for high unemployment and business competition. So when mobs attacked these foreigners last month, more than 50,000 of the migrants fled the country. As Gretchen Wilson explains from Johannesburg, this absence won't help the economy.
Itai Mangwan came here from Zimbabwe 3 years ago. He opened a convenience store in a remote township. But when violence against immigrants flared up across the country, neighbors poured into his shop and stole everything, and then abducted his family.
They come and grab my wife and my child. My child is 2 years old. They go with them. I don't know where they are now.
Mangwan can't get answers from the police, and he's terrified.
I'm sleeping in the street. So here's my blanket and my pillow. You see, I don't have food to eat. I just want my family back so that I can go back to Zimbabwe.
If he goes, he'll be among the tens of thousands of migrants who've returned home to Zimbabwe, Mozambique, Malawi, and Nigeria. South Africa's economy is the biggest in the region. Still, nearly 40% of South Africans are unemployed, and some blame foreigners for taking their jobs. But the unrest is driving away the very people that the economy needs most for its growth, entrepreneurs and skilled laborers like electricians and road surveyors.
And the South African economy continues to be highly dependent on migrant labor.
Lauren Landau heads the Forced Migration Studies Program at Wits University. He says South Africa's former apartheid system left an enormous skills gap.
So I think for business to continue to grow and, of course, to create more jobs, there's a need to get those skills here.
35% of South Africa's mine workers are from other countries. At the height of the unrest, some gold mines had to shut down because their foreign workers were too afraid to show up for work. Many South Africans know this and want immigrants to stay. This is a march to demonstrate support for immigrants in the wake of the violence. Thousands of people carry signs that say things like, "Xenophobia hurts like apartheid." Apartheid made South Africa an international pariah and stunted the country's economy. In Johannesburg, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
You can send us your thoughts by visiting marketplace.org. While you're there, you can also pick up the Morning Report podcast. Thanks for listening in Los Angeles. I'm Renita Jablonski. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.